we're going to have a great morning this morning, right? This morning we have the Allen family with us. They're actually going to lead us in our time of praise, and then also they're going to sing some specials and just get us primed and ready for tonight. So tonight at 6 p.m., the Allen family will be back again with us, and so want to encourage you to be out for that as well. And if you would like to, if you'd like to bless the Allen family, they live on the support of the love offerings that people give. And so I want to encourage you to be a blessing to them today. If you'd like to give a love offering to them, there are two ways to do that. One, you can mark it in your offering when we put the offering plate around and mark what you want for the Allen family. And then also tonight, we're also going to be taking up a special love offering. And so if you can pray about that this afternoon and really bless them, that would be wonderful. Well, we have several announcements to go through here. So if you'll take your bulletins and first of all, in your bulletin, there should have been an insert. And I'm sure you've all heard of the hurricanes that are taking place. And so there's a way that we can be a help. I mean, it's hard from way up here other than prayer to be a help. B&B Trucking, they're located, the address is there. It's just off of 9th Street in Kalamazoo. They are taking a semi-load down to Florida. And the things that they're looking for are water, canned food, diapers, pet food, toiletries, new blankets, new clothes, new gloves. They don't want used because of bugs and all those types of things that could. And you say, well, mine don't have that. They still won't take any used, okay? They need to be new. And then flashlights, batteries. And so if you would like to help with that, they will be collecting until, I believe, 5 o'clock tonight or maybe even a little bit later than that. So if you'd like to take something and drop that off, they will be leaving tomorrow morning to start driving down to help provide some aid. So if you'd like to be part of that, there's some information so you can be part of that. Next Sunday, there will be a short meeting for those signed up for the Noah's Ark and Creation Museum trip. And so if you've signed up for that, or if you didn't sign up and you would like to go, then you can go ahead and go to that meeting so you know what all the particulars are. So that will be taking place next Sunday. All right, today we have the Allen family with us. They're going to lead us in praise and worship this morning. And then as we transition into the afternoon, we have a spaghetti dinner. And so you're all invited to stay for the spaghetti dinner. Then during the spaghetti dinner, if you have a child that's in Awana is preschool through fifth grade. If you have any children that are going to take part in Awana, registration will be during the spaghetti dinner, okay? So make sure that you take an opportunity. And then on Wednesday at 6:30, that's 6 o'clock, right? Do I have that time right? Who's in Awana? The commander's not in here, so. Liz Sagers, 6 o'clock. Okay, I had put 6:30 down, so make sure that you know it is at 6 o'clock, okay? That's when Awana begins on Wednesday. If you would like to take part in the dinner that takes place before Awana, please sign up at the Welcome Center. It's $4 per person or $10 for a family. So if you'd like for that, it's a lot easier and it's a lot cheaper than if you go to McDonald's as well. So if you're coming right from work, that's an opportunity for you to have your dinner taken care of. Our benevolent fund right now is low. It has less than $50 in it. And so I'm just going to encourage you, if the Lord lays it on your heart, if you'd like to contribute to the benevolence fund, you say, what does the benevolence fund go towards? It goes towards helping people, usually within our church, but sometimes people from outside the church who have a financial need or an emergency comes up, and we're able to help them with that. And so if you'd like to contribute to that, just mark that on your offering envelope, and we'd love to be able to replenish that fund. The Ladies Bible Study begins this Tuesday, September 12th. And so, ladies, make sure that if you're coming out for that, that you're prepared. And then the Rickman House, which is taking place on Friday, that we're serving dinner at the Rickman House, all of the food has been accounted for. So I'm just going to remind you, please remember to bring the food in, okay? Make sure that the food is here, and that's going to be a wonderful opportunity to serve. And there are two baby showers coming up. Next Sunday will be a baby shower for Rachel Sage, and then October 8th will be one for Daisy Workentine. And so, ladies, keep those dates in mind. And small groups begin next week. We start a new series on the parables from the book of Mark. There are eight, and it will be an eight-week study. And if you just come Sunday morning, you will be blessed. But if you come to a small group, you will be even more blessed. You'll get so much more out of the study. And so I want to encourage you. We have one that takes place here at the church. And if you bring your young person for youth group starts back up again next Sunday from 5 to 7. And instead of dropping them off and leaving and then coming back, just bring them, stay for that Bible study, and you'll be blessed. And then we have two other locations, one in South Portage and one over in Pawpaw for small groups. So you can choose one to be part of. And believe it or not, we're starting to prepare for a trunk or treat. So if you'd like to help Autumn Lewis out with that, there's information in the bulletin. And this is the end of the year for the sideline. So if you had a sideline child that you were being a blessing to, it's time to reveal who you are. And if you'd like to participate in the program for 2017-2018, then you can see Autumn Lewis about that. For the rest of the announcements, you can read those in your bulletins. That was a lot of announcements, right? That's good because it means we have a lot going on. And we want to make sure that we serve our Lord with our lives. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the great privilege that it is to meet with your people, that we can call you our God. And not just our God, we can call you our Father. And that, Lord Jesus, you told us that we can be a joint heir with you according to the promises of our Father. So, Lord, thank you for all that you give to us. And, Lord, we do pray for those down south, those who are still hurting in the Houston area. We pray for those in Florida and, Lord, all of the island countries who have been so greatly impacted and harmed with these storms, and those, Lord, who are bracing themselves. We just ask that in all of this, that as a nation, we would see that there is a God, and his power is far greater than anything that man can do. And I pray, Lord, that instead of people turning their fists towards you, that we would turn our faces towards you, and that we would, with humble hearts and sincere attitudes, drop to our knees before you and say, God, we need you, we need to follow you, we need to serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that through all of these events that are taking place, that eyes would be turned to you, be with the churches and the areas that are affected. I pray, Lord, that they would be greatly successful in pointing people toward the cross of Jesus Christ as the hope of salvation. And Lord, I know that this morning we have beautiful weather here. We're very blessed. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take the most, get the most out of this day that we possibly can. I thank you that today is the Lord's day, and it's a day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, use this time for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Morning. Good morning. Oops, sorry.
Fox Creek. Good to see you this morning. Here we are loving God and loving one another and lifting up our voices to the one who has made us all one in Him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remain standing as we sing congregationally a medley of hymns of the church, starting with Victory in Jesus. Here we go. Everybody smile because you look better when you're smiling.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His roaming, of His precious blood atoning, then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Be seated.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the Allen family. We just pray that you just bless them richly. Thank you for their efforts. Lord, I ask you to be with this offering today, that you'd bless it richly. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to give. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless the offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We are the hope in a barren land. We are children of the one true God. also thinking about another word that we may say when we first get to heaven. You know, the Bible says, you know, the half has not yet been told. And what we do know about heaven, streets of gold, mansions, gates of pearl, jasper walls, Jesus being there, amen, the Lamb being the light. There's enough that we do know, but the half of it has not yet been told. I'm thinking one word that I'm going to use whenever I get to heaven and I see the splendor of that city is going to be this. Wow. Wow. It's going to be wonderful. And there's only one way that we have any hope of getting to that city. There's only one person who has made the way possible for us. And that is the one that we adore today. That is the one that we have chosen to get up out of our bed this morning, to get fixed up, to get into our cars and to come to this place, God's house, to worship his son on his day. There is no other name under heaven that we have been given whereby we must be saved. The only hope of salvation is in one. His name is Jesus. Something special about that name. Something supernatural about the name.
Amen. We'll come back tonight for some more from the Allen family, and thank you so much. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. A wife called her husband and said, darling, the car is broken down and it won't start. And the husband said, what? It's been in perfect working order. What's wrong with it? And she said, well, I think there's water in the carburetor. And he said, water in the carburetor? Well, where are you right now? She said, well, I'm in the backyard pond. That's probably never happened to anybody here, right? Genesis 24 and verse 1, it says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring your son again unto the land from where you came? Abraham said to him, beware that you do not bring my son there again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spoke unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto your seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and you shall take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside of the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray, drink a little water of your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted. She let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. And she hurried and she emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Let me just stop right there. Why is it important? Why is it giving us whose son, whose daughter she is? Well, in Genesis 11:26, it says, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." This is one of Abraham's relatives. Exactly who Abraham told the servant to go to. So she, in a sense, she's a second cousin of sorts to Isaac. Verse 25. "She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provision enough and room for you to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Let's pray here together. Lord God, I pray that you would bless the time that we spend here in your word, that it would be profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God, help us to be complete in you this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are four characters that are noteworthy in this passage. And I think as we look at each one, what we have to try to do here is find our place in the story. Okay, whenever you read an account in Scripture, and when I say story, I'm not talking about a fable story. I'm talking about history, okay? This is a real event that took place. And whenever we read an account in the Bible, we should try to find how it applies to us personally. And sometimes it's really good for us to find a character that we can kind of just get a sense that we are like that person. Or I can draw from what that person went through. So we have a father, we have a son, we have a servant, and we have a woman. Now all four of them they're all key in this story. And so find yourself in the story. Now the story starts this way. A father sends a servant to find a bride for his son. What could possibly go wrong, right? I mean, think about it. Doesn't that sound like the beginning to like a joke? You know, a father sends a servant to find a wife for his son. Okay, now, for us today, this sounds really, really bad, but basically he sends the servant to a place where a family reunion would be taking place, okay? Because he wants them to find somebody that is from their own country, from his own people. And today we would look at that, we go, whoa, you know, are we in Tennessee right now? You know, I'm sorry for those who lived in Tennessee. So, but the whole idea here is that Abraham has a specific goal in mind for the servant. Now, the son, he's 40 years old. So here's what I'm wondering, okay? I'm wondering two things. One, Isaac just isn't motivated to get out and get married. Or two, there's nobody around that's good enough in Abraham's eyes for his son, Isaac. And so he's going to take care of it. Now, some of you, you're looking, you're saying, arranged marriages, those are awful. Arranged marriages are wonderful, okay? As a father of three daughters, I think that is the only way that marriages should take place, okay? I think, now, I mean, in a way, Rachel and I were an arranged marriage. See, I went to work for her dad, and he set it up so she was at work the very first day I worked. At lunchtime, he said, "What are you doing for lunch?" I said, I was just going to work through lunch. He said, here's $20. Why don't you and Rachel grab a bite to eat? And the rest is history, okay? So we could kind of claim, hey, we're an arranged marriage. So they're not bad things. So here's what's taking place. A 40-year-old man has his 140-year-old dad sending a servant to go find his wife. So let's look first of all at the father. The father. The father wanted the best for his son. And he gave some rules to the servant. Now, parents, these are really good rules. kids, all right, you teens especially, these are really good rules. So rule number one, not a Canaanite. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan. It's the promised land. The problem is the people that live in that land are going to be removed so Abraham's family can take the land. And he says, not a Canaanite. What does that mean? It means not of the world's ways. Not of the world's ways. Parents, I want to encourage you, you know, as a dad with three children or three girls, I want my daughters to find a man that is not of the world's ways. And so I think that it's very important for all of us to set standard. Well, how do you know if someone's of the world's ways or not? Well, number one, do they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their personal Savior? Not are they religious, not do they go to church, not are they moral. Do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, then they're of the world's ways. What if they say, well, I'm a Christian, but there's no fruit in their life? Again, do you want someone who claims the faith or that lives the faith? See, what Abraham was getting at here, he didn't want somebody that was of the world's ways. And so it's a very good rule. And this is rule number one, not of the world's ways. Rule number two was they had to come from Abraham's relatives. They were Hebrew. Eber is the root, and all the sons of Eber will be known as Hebrews. Okay, Eber himself grows up, and he essentially was a Syrian because of the land that he lives in. And so the offspring will grow up, and they'll be known later on as Syrians, but really they're Hebrews by birth. And we went through that a couple weeks ago when we went through Genesis chapter 10. So Abraham is looking for someone that comes from his relatives. Well, why? Because he's looking for someone of the same faith. The same faith. Let me give you a very real life, present day application of this. I know people that they fall in love with someone that they both claim to be Christian. They both profess Jesus Christ. But they don't come from the same faith. Like, someone is Catholic, and then let's say the man is Catholic and the woman is Baptist. There's tension in their faith. Just because they claim to be Christian, both of them, their faith is different and will cause problems. I knew a man who, he fell in love with a Catholic gal, and they were going to get married, and she had to get married in the Catholic Church, and he had to take a vow that he would raise his children in the Catholic faith. And I told him, I said, I know that you love her, but you should not marry her because it is not the same faith. They were married for 7 years, and they got divorced with two little children. And what was the point of contention? It wasn't that it was their faith. She was always pushing for him to be part of the Catholic activities, and he saw the fallacy in it and didn't want to be part of it. And it drove them apart. And so, rule number two is a really important rule of the same faith. And the third thing we see in the rules that the father gave to the servant is do not take the son, Isaac, back to the homeland. He went to the homeland to find the wife, but he said, if she won't come back, you're not taking him there. He is going to stay here. She has to go there. Isaac was not to go back to Syria. He was not to go back to Mesopotamia. I mean, You know, it sounds like mess of potatoes, right? Well, think of it that way, because who doesn't like a good mess of potatoes? That's where the land is really bountiful. That's where the culture of civilization is. That's where the seat of the learned people were at that time. This is the hotbed to live, and yet that's not the place where Abraham wanted his son to go back to. God had a plan for Abraham's family to move on, not to go back home, but to take the land that he had promised to Abraham. And so, if we were to think of a way to put this and how does this apply to us today, don't go backward in God's plan. Don't go backward in God's plan. We need to keep moving forward. Now remember, Abraham, he's 140 years old. He asked the son to go find a wife for his 40-year-old son. So let's look at the son. The son, he doesn't do a thing in this passage except trust his father and his father's servant. But think about it. We've got one of the great love stories, and Isaac isn't even part of it. He's sitting at home waiting for a servant to come back. And some of you, you're sitting here going, I find myself as a son. I just want to sit around and let God pour the blessings on me, right? That's my role. And you know what? That might be where God has you. But let's think about this son here. Let's think about the level of faith that he has in his dad's choice. It's not dad out finding his wife. It's his dad's servant. I mean, it's bad enough to let dad choose your spouse. But to let dad's servant? I'll tell you what, his faith isn't in the servant. Isaac's faith had to be in God. And that's where our faith must be. Our faith isn't in the people that are working around us. It's in God, because we should be working together. But you know who ultimately our trust is in? It's in God. Like I said, we all want to be the son. We just want to sit back, wait for the story to unfold, and good fortune to just fall in our lap. And then through faith and the work of others, we're blessed. But there are times to sit back, and then there are times where you have to be the one that works. So let's look at the servant. I don't know about you. If I'm the servant, I am really uncomfortable. All right? I'm really glad that I've never worked a job where I've had to go out and find somebody else's spouse for them. Okay? I mean, can you imagine, especially in that day and age? I mean, He's a servant of his master, Abraham. And he's got to go find a wife for Abraham's son. And he understands that the God of Abraham has made a special promise to Isaac that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one whose name will be Jesus, like they were just singing about, that he will come through Isaac. So this servant has an extraordinary task. So what does he do? Well, he goes to where he's supposed to go, but here's the first thing we see him do. He prays for what he understands. As a servant follows the father's orders, he prays for what he understands. How many times do we have a big decision? Do we have a big task in front of us? And we don't even take the time to pray. We think, I'm just going to be the son and sit back and let everything fall. This servant took the job seriously. And how do we know he took it seriously? He prayed. He prays for what he understands. And then the second thing he does is he trusts what he doesn't understand. So he goes into the city. He stops by the well. This is a pretty good plan. He says, I'm going to sit here at this well. This is the time of day in the evening when the daughters of the city come out to get water. And he says, I'm going to sit here, and when I see one of the ladies, I'm going to just ask her if I can have a drink. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, why don't you get your own drink, you lazy bum? Well, the well in that city, they have their own vessels that they use to drop down into the water to pull the water out. And so he knows that when these ladies come, that they'll have the right equipment to do it. So he's asking them if he can have a drink, but then he's going to wait and see if they offer to give a drink to his camels as well. He's got 10 camels. Now, I don't know if you've seen a camel, but they're pretty big animals, right? Fairly large. And they drink a lot of water. I tried to figure out how much water, but I couldn't figure out how much this would take, okay? Let's just imagine that with 10 camels, that they're going to drink 32 ounces each, which would be half a gallon, correct? 64 ounces in a gallon? No? Is my math wrong there? How many ounces are in a gallon? Oh, 128. Okay. All right. So I figured it at a quarter a gallon, a camel, which is probably really low. Okay? That's a lot of fluid that this lady will have to pull out for 10 camels. She'll have to go to work. And so the servant says, I want to see if she's worthy of my master's son. If she's worthy to be the one through whom the Messiah will come. And so he trusts what he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand how this is going to work. Somehow, this lady's going to have to give him a drink, give his camels a drink, invite him to stay, and then voluntarily go with him, a stranger, into the Canaan land and take it all on the word of a servant, not even a relative of Abraham. So the third thing we see, he waits on what he sees. I mean, Rebecca gets there, and right away he's like, wow, she's gorgeous. And she has integrity. When he sees her, he asks for a drink of water, and she immediately puts the pot of water down. She pours some water for him, and the Bible uses this word twice, hasted, hurried. And she hurries him and just starts voluntarily putting the water in the trough for the camels. When she gets done, he's watching this and he's like, wow, I think I found the right one. And he says, hey, does your family have a place for me to stay? She says, oh, we've got plenty of room. We'll feed your camels. We'll put them up. We'll put you up. We'll feed you. No problem. And he's like, wow. So then, we didn't read this part of it, but he meets her father's, or her brother, and her mom. Now, her dad's in the picture, but he's very silent in the whole thing. Her brother is fairly prominent, and his name is Laban. We'll actually hear more about Laban in different passages in the scripture. And immediately he finds out who her family is. Oh my goodness. You're related to Nahor? Well, Nahor's related to Abraham. You're perfect! Would you come and be Abraham's son Isaac? Would you be his wife? And they're like, well, let's take 10 days and let her think about it. And the servant says, I'm leaving tomorrow. Talk about some faith. The next thing we see here, letter D, he serves his master as if he's serving the Lord. He's not going to wait around. He asked the Lord specifically. Abraham told him, here's what I want. He doesn't see any need to wait around for 10 days to let her pray about it. He says, I'm going tomorrow morning. If you're coming, you're coming. If not, oh well. And Rebecca says, yes, I'll go. Look at letter E. When he sees the answer to his prayers, he gives God the glory. The servant didn't go, whoo, I had a good plan. Man, am I smart. People should come to me for advice when it comes to finding wives. I think I'm going to start a business and market it. Wives are us. And I will find you the best woman because I am good at this. No, instead of bringing the glory to himself, what he does is he says, God, the God of my master Abraham, you are incredible. And he gives God the glory. In letter F, he could give glory to God because everything he did was done excellently. If he would have manipulated the situation, if he would not have acted in faith, if he would not have asked God, if he would have, now he did give to Rebecca an earring, a half ounce earring, and then a couple bracelets and 10 shekels. A shekel is an ounce, about, of gold. So he gave some valuable things to her. But by no means did he manipulate the situation. In fact, he said, no, you're not going to take 10 days to pray about it. Either you're going to come or not. I mean, she meets him that night, feeds or takes care of his camels, and she's got to be ready to go. And she was willing. And he did things excellently. And he could see that God was at work. It wasn't himself. I wish that we as servants could see God more and see ourselves less. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That as servants, we could see God more and see ourselves less. When we offer good advice to somebody and it betters their life, or when we share Jesus Christ with somebody and they get saved, or when we give somebody a verse to encourage them, and here's what happens, we go, wow, I did good, didn't I? And while being a faithful steward of the treasures of God are great for us to distribute to others, we don't pat ourselves on the back, we give glory to God. Because he's the one that makes it happen. So let's talk about this woman for a minute. Rebecca. She checks every box. First of all, she's hospitable. You got this stranger with 10 camels who's got no place to go. So he hasn't planned it out real well. And he says, hey, can I have a drink of water? You're a stranger. Go get yourself a drink of water. Right? Well, who do you think you are to ask me for some water? No, not Rebecca. She's hospitable. She sees someone who has a need, and she says, I'm going to help fill that need. She puts the water down. She serves him the water. Secondly, we see that she is hardworking. She hurries. She hurries. She had water to take home to her family. But she was hardworking. She took care of the stranger, and then she took it home to her family. And thirdly, she's honorable. Laban says we need 10 days. Her mom's like, yeah, Rebecca, you know, we've heard about this Abraham. I mean, he's a pretty good guy, but it took him till he was 100 to have a child. And he sent a servant, to pick out a wife. But where's Rebecca's faith? Rebecca's faith is in her God, who happens to be the same God as Abraham's God and Isaac's God. And she's honorable because she is willing to leave her comfortable life aside and join the extraordinary plan that God has. Now, if you read in Galatians chapter 3, it says that before God made the promise to Abraham that he would have a child and that that child would be the Messiah, before, or that his child would give birth in his line to the Messiah, that through him all the world would be blessed. And then in Galatians 3, it tells us that Jesus is the seed that was promised. So that gospel that Abraham heard, I'm sure he told everybody about it. And as he tells everybody about it, people are listening to it and like, Abraham, you're going to be the one who this Messiah will come and offer his life, be a sacrifice for us. And I'm sure there are people that believed it, and I'm sure there were people that didn't. And here's what Rebecca did. She said, I am going to be part of that plan. By going with the servant, they have the most unromantic meeting ever. Read through chapter 25. The servant gets there with her. And here comes this guy running out there. And he's 40 years old. I doubt she's 40 years old. Maybe she's still in her teens. Maybe she's early 20s. And she sees this guy running out, and she's like, who's that? And the servant goes, oh, that's Isaac. Oh. When we meet Rebecca, it says that she was fair to look on. She was beautiful. Isaac? Ah. There he is. But she left father and mother. She left home to be part of a plan that would save humanity. And the Bible says, here's what happens. Isaac sees her and says, hey, I'm Isaac. You're Rebecca? There's mom's tent. That was their service. That was their ceremony. And you know what? 40 years will go by, and they won't have any children. 40 years will pass. And she's got to be thinking, I left everything to be part of this great plan where a Messiah would come and save the world. And we can't even have children. And then you know what God does? God gives her twins. And through that, Jacob will be born. Jacob, he'll become Israel. Jacob will have 12 children, one of them Judah. Judah will have children. Eventually, David will be born, King David. And then from David, there'll be a lady named Mary that's born. And also, there'll be a man named Joseph, separated by 14 generations. And God will be the father, and Mary will be the mother, and the Savior will be born. So let me just ask you, where are you in this story? Are you part of God's plan? Are you even part of what God is doing? If not, you can join the team today. Okay, I think the NFL season kicks off today, right? All right? They all wear jerseys, right? They work, they fight real hard with other guys, and they join a 53-man roster, and they get a jersey, and they get to be on that team. I'll tell you what, God, he's made joining his team something so much more wonderful because he's not asking you to do the work. He's saying, I already did the work. I sent my son, Jesus. He worked it out for thousands of years. He had this plan, and he put it into place. And there were people like Rebecca who were willing to be obedient to God's plan to help it. And today, that Messiah is offered for you. He's already died. Jesus died for your sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. The Bible tells us, just like the Allen's saying, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, will you bow to Jesus today? Because if you don't, if you wait until this life ends and you enter eternity, it will be too late. We must trust Jesus now. The scriptures tell us that, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to be a part of his plan. You can join into what he has for you. And in just a minute, the Allens are going to come sing. I'm going to stand at the front. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ and you have questions you'd like to talk to me about or to talk to somebody about it, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, I hope that you've found your place in this story. And I want to encourage you to be part. Do your job. Be an active participant. Be more than the son, but have the faith that Isaac had. And let's go out into this world and let's make a difference for our Heavenly Father. Let's serve him with our lives. And let's bring glory to him. Let's stand together as we pray. Lord God, I pray that as we close out this service, that you would just do a great work in our hearts. Encourage those, Lord, who are obedient. As they serve you, Lord, I just pray they'd find great joy in bringing glory to the name of God, the Father of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those who have never trusted you, I pray that right now, during these moments, they would just realize their need. And I pray, Lord, that they would surrender themselves to be part of your plan. And that this morning, Lord, they would come to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Join the Allens in singing this. Well, we want to invite you out tonight at 6 o'clock to be here as the Allens will be singing again. And also, if you're not able to be here but you would like to leave a love offering, God's just spurred your heart to do that, then you can drop that in the box in the back, and that will make sure that that gets to the Allen family as well. You are invited to stay for lunch. We will be having a spaghetti dinner, so you're invited to stay. If you are a senior saint, so if you're willing to claim that, you get to be on the right-hand side, all right? That is your line. And if you are not a senior and you get in the right-hand side, then you get to go to the back of the left-hand side's line, okay? So seniors, you get the right line. Let's pray together as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. I thank you that you have a plan. I thank you that we can be your servants. And I pray, Lord, that we would serve you and pray through that time of service, that we would trust you, and Lord, that we would see the great things that you do and give you glory. You are a great God. So now unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.